Brothers and sisters, saints and friends, welcome to another episode of Esther 414, Hadassah Speaks. I am your host, Hadassah, called into the kingdom for such a time as this. Opening song is El Shaddai Adonai by Nathaniah Bassey Main. Thank you so much for listening in. Like to say happy Sunday to you, or happy Monday, Tuesday, whenever day you're listening to this. But it is being recorded this beautiful Sunday morning that the Lord has given us. And I say, let us rejoice and be glad in it, because this is the day that the Lord has made. And we ought to rejoice and be glad in it, because somebody laid down and did not wake up this morning. But you got out of your bed and you opened up your eyes this morning, and you have the activity of your limbs. For that, you ought to be grateful. You can see, you can hear. You woke up with shelter. You woke up, you have food in your refrigerator. You woke up with a plan to even maybe go to church or go to your job this morning. And you're able to do that, but somebody has lost their freedom. Somebody has lost their life. Somebody has lost their loved one. But you're waking up with the blessings of the Lord today. And for that, you ought to give the Lord a hallelujah shout. You ought to give the Lord a praise. Why? Because he is worthy of praise. He is worthy of glory. He is worthy of honor. Hallelujah. So today I want to come from 1 Thessalonians, and we're just going to talk about just some of the foundations here. And I woke up in my spirit to be grateful. Be grateful. Be grateful at all times, for God is faithful. And because he is faithful, we need to be grateful. Learn to just move and operate in this spirit of gratitude, because all of the things that you have, or what God is allowing, he doesn't have to do that. So in my mind, I woke up, or in my spirit, I should say, I woke up with this: be grateful. Be grateful, and be grateful for not just the big things that God does, but be grateful for even the little small things that he does for us. Because he doesn't have to do anything, but he chooses to do those things for us. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'm going to go ahead and start at the first verse. And it says, "But of these times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief." So Paul is warning, we don't know when the day of the Lord is going to come, because it's going to come like a thief in the night. But because you, brethren and sister, are not in darkness, you don't live in darkness, so it's not going to overtake you as a thief. Verse 5, "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness." I'm going to read that one again. "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness." You and me and every believer, we are children of the light. We are children of the day. Children of the light. We don't walk in darkness. Because we belong to the Most High, we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We are children who are living in the light, and we're children of the light. We don't walk in the night. We're not in darkness. Verse 6, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And what are we watching for? We're watching for the day of the Lord. We're living as if the day of the Lord could come at any moment. Because we are children of the light, we don't sleep like they darkness children. Because we're children of the light, we can sleep in peace. We can sleep in rest. Because if the day of the Lord comes, it's not going to be bad for us. So we're not going to sleep like they do. Because he doesn't mean actually sleep, but they're walking as if they are asleep. Those that are walking as unbelievers who have not chosen to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they may as well be sleepwalking. They're in the darkness, and they may as well be sleepwalking. But we're told not to be sleepers. We need to be watching, and we need to be sober. Verse 7, for they that sleep in the night, they that be drunken are drunken in the night. They that sleep, sleep in the dark or in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. So all this sleeping and drinking and partying, this is all darkness type things. And the people that are doing those things, the children of the dark, they do those things in the dark. But verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Now, we don't hope. If you're hoping, there's an expectation at the end of your hope. See, when we have hope, we're expecting something. And so the thing that we as believers expect is salvation. We expect that when the day of the Lord comes that we're going to be okay. We're going to be rescued. We're going to be saved. We're going to be safe. We're going to be rescued. We're going to be delivered. That's our expectation. So we're putting on the hope of salvation. The hope, again, the hope, with hope comes expectation of something. And that expectation is salvation. So verse 9, for God have not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So when the day of the Lord comes, that is a day of wrath. That's reserved for those sleepwalkers, those nightwalkers, those people that are living in darkness. But ye, brethren, are a child of the light. So God has not appointed the children of light to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So once again, on the day of the Lord, there's a rescue for us. There's deliverance for us. There's safety for us. But for the dark sleepwalkers, those night walkers, those night sleepers, those night drunks, there's a different outcome for them. And that's the wrath. And Paul is letting the church at Thessalonica know, that's not you. You are children of the light. And I'm letting you know today that wrath is not set aside for you because you are a child of the light. Isn't that something to be grateful for? Isn't that something to be thankful for? Verse 9 again, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you also do. Excuse me. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. So, brethren, you need to know the people that are laboring with you, that you are laboring with. Know the people that are over you, those that are in authority, in the ministry, over you. Verse 13, what do you need to do? And to esteem these people very highly. esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. You got to love them a lot. You got to love that pastor, love those ministers, love those spiritual mothers, love those spiritual fathers. Esteem them very highly in love. Why? Why? For their work's sake, for the work that they're putting in for you, for the work that they're putting in for the kingdom. We are to esteem them highly in love and be at peace among yourselves. Verse 14, now we exhort ye, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Now, this is the church that he's telling the church how they ought to be. He's explaining to this particular church how they ought to behave themselves, how they ought to carry themselves. Warn them that are unruly. Warn them. How often in church, and within your own church, if you go to a church, are people warned for being unruly? Comfort the feeble-minded and support the weak. But we need to be patient toward some men? No. The ones I like? No. Be patient toward all. A-L-L. Show patience towards all men. Verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. So you're not going to pay people back for the evil that they're doing you or the evil that they've done. He said, don't pay back. Don't pay back. Do not render evil for evil. You do bad to me, then I'm going to do bad to you. Don't do that to any man, not just your brothers. Not just your church folks, not just your sisters in Christ. I'm not talking about don't do that to them. I'm saying don't do that to anybody, to nobody, even the unbelievers. If an unbeliever treats you bad, you're not to pay him back. If your sister in Christ, a brother in Christ treats you bad, you're not to pay them back. That's what this word is saying. Verse 16, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And in verse 18, in everything give thanks. Be grateful. In everything give thanks. Be grateful. For this, I'm adding the be grateful, but in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He wants us to be grateful. God's desire, God's will is for us to be thankful, to be people who will give thanks in every situation. That's his desire for us, that we're grateful people. Now, some people interpret this scripture to that part of the second part of the scripture to mean that the thing that you're being thankful for, that's God's desire for you. So whatever you find yourself going through, that's his will for your life. So be grateful. That's another interpretation of it. But I also see that what he's saying here is, it's my will that you're grateful. It's my will that you're thankful, that you give thanks. In everything, you give thanks. Verse 19, quench not the spirit. Don't put the spirit out. Don't throw a cold blanket over. Don't throw cold water over the spirit. Don't quench the spirit. When we think of the spirit, we think of fire. When we think of the spirit, in the mind, it's like a fire. But you could put that fire out. He's saying, don't put the fire out. Don't quench the spirit. And we can quench the spirit. We can put the fire out by sowing to our flesh. By focusing on fleshly and carnal things, you are sowing to your flesh. The Bible tells us to sow to our spirit man. Because when you sow to your flesh, you're going to reap corruption. And so when you start pouring in all these things that's designed to build up your flesh, you're quenching the spirit. Begin to sow things to your spirit. Read the word. Pray. Fast. Fellowship. Praise. sold to the spirit man. So you are not quenching the spirit. You're not putting that fire out. You're not putting a damp on the spirit that's in you. And we can definitely do that. We can quench the spirit. And people, when they think of it, they're thinking, you know, when I'm at church and the spirit is high and somebody do something and knock the spirit down, that's to them is quenching the spirit. Or you shouting and you praising and you just getting your dance on and they ready to move on in the service and the usher come and sit you down. You don't quench the spirit. You thinking that's what it is, you know, don't. But quenching the spirit, the spirit is in you. The spirit of God has come in you when you accept the Lord as your Lord and Savior. When you accept Jesus Christ, you have a spirit that's dwelling in you and we can put that fire out. We can put that. We can ignore it. Don't continue to kindle it, or you know, put more logs on it. We can quench that fire, or we can pour something on it. Okay, and then verse 20: despise not prophesying. Don't hate the words that are coming from God. When God is speaking to you through man or through the word, don't hate that. Don't despise prophesying, because some people don't like to hear the prophet. They don't want to hear what the prophets is saying. They don't want to hear that it's coming from God unless it's good prophecy. Now, people love good prophecy. But God is saying, don't hate prophesying. Don't hate the words that are coming out of the prophet's mouth, because those are my words. Don't hate that. 21, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Don't just take everything at face value. Some things you got to test. Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Hold on to stuff that's good. Hold fast to it, to those things that are good. And verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Oh, so many things come into my mind when I read that. So many things come into my mind. It says abstain from all, just the appearance, y'all. You need us to stay away from evil. But here he's saying the appearance of it. If it's look evil, stay away from it. Now, when we think evil, because evil just has these connotations that it's just really extra wicked. But do you know that evil is just the opposite of what's good in God's eyes? It doesn't have to be any certain degrees of level of wickedness. Anything that's not good and holy is evil, because it's the opposite of what's good and what's holy. It's not, you know, somebody that cut off somebody's head. Oh, that's wicked, you know, or all these kind of are evil. Or, you know, he killed 15 people and he sliced off their head. That's evil. No, that is evil. But evil is even more simple than that. It's just the opposite of what God considers good. So we are to abstain from the appearance of things that are evil, that are sinful, that are wicked. You need to abstain from the appearance of it. And verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, completely. The God of peace will cleanse you, purify you whole, in whole, wholly, completely. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So while we're walking out this life, Paul is praying that God will purify, will cleanse us, will sanctify us, and that our whole spirit, body, and soul is blameless when God gets here. He wanted to be preserved blameless. Preserve blameless. So when you preserve something, you're keeping it in a fixed state. So if I come back and get it off the shelf tomorrow, what I'm going to get off the shelf, if I took you and put you in a preserving jar, if I was trying to preserve you, you know, like some jam or when your old great grandmother used to take and can different foods and preserve it and put it in these jars. So we're going to think of putting your whole spirit, soul, and body in a jar for preservation. And when we go back to this shelf, we've got strawberry jam or we've got grape jam or whatever they put in. They call them preserves, strawberry preserves, because they preserved them. but it's like a jam, you know, or spread. So if we went, if God came back in the pantry and pulled out your jar, what we ought to see preserved in that jar is a blameless body, soul, and spirit. Blameless. You're holy. You're righteous. There's nothing that you can be called on. You're blameless before God. And that's what he wants to see. So that's Paul's prayer, that when the Lord comes, that day of the Lord that he's talking about in verse 1, that when he comes, you are blameless. See, I can be blameless today and decide that I want to live unholy tomorrow, and the Lord comes and I wasn't preserved. See, he wants you to be like that. He wants to stay, want you to stay blameless. Stay in that state. Stay in a blameless state. Be preserved in that. Verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He's faithful that called you. You can be kept. You can be preserved. You can be kept, you can be preserved blameless. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Verse 27, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So Paul is just giving them advice on how they ought to walk out this life, how they ought to walk out that calling. Let them know that if God called you, he is faithful. He's able to preserve you blameless at his coming. And at his coming, you should not find wrath, but salvation. Because why? You are children of the light and not children of the darkness. So that is something to be grateful for. I am a child of light. And when the day of the Lord comes, I do not have to worry about wrath. I've got on the hope of salvation. I'm wearing the helmet of the hope of salvation. So when the day of the Lord comes and I'm here, I don't have to worry about the wrath, because I, as a child of light, will be saved. Amen. And that's all I have for you. Grace and peace.